Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, I'm going to get straight into scripture today, and we're going to be looking at an account in Exodus chapter 3 about one of my most favorite people in scripture, Moses. I love Moses because I feel like it's a bit of a reflection of my own life. And it has become a bit of like my life message or my life story, just being able to come back to him and see how God worked in his life. If you read the whole breadth of Moses' life from when he was born, you know, that whole story about the baby in the bulrushes all the way through to when God took him, when he passed away at the edge of the promised land, you see that God does this incredible transformative work over the breadth of his life. And, you know, that's why we want to be as Christians, right? Who knows that when you get saved, life, we're not static. We don't remain the same. But that God wants to do this ongoing transformative work over our lives, over the full breadth of our lives. You might be here, young person today, looking around at the older people and thinking that they've got it all together, but we don't. We still need to grow, right? We still need God to do a work in us. Or maybe you're looking at the younger people, older people, and thinking that they think they've got it all together, but it doesn't work that way. We all need to be going on this journey of growth and transformation. And can I tell you today, if you are static in your relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're not moving forwards in what he has for you. And this is what we see in Moses' life. He's constantly moving forwards in what Jesus has for him, even though he might be reluctant at times, even though he might be insecure and not very keen. So we're going to pick up this scripture, this account from Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.'" In verse 7, "And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people to the children of Israel and bring them out of Egypt.'" Verse 11, are you still with me? Great. "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children out of Israel out of Egypt?' And so he said, 'I certainly will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.'" Two more verses. Are you still going? Okay. "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" Wow, love this account, hey? Today I want to speak to you from this account in scripture, and I want to speak to you on this thought, breaking up with comfort. Breaking up with comfort. You see, what you need to know about Moses in this account is that he was very comfortable with his life in Midian. He had been living there for 40 years. He ended up living in Midian because when he was living in Egypt, he killed an Egyptian slave master. You see, Moses was born an Israelite in Egypt at a time when all of the Israelites were in slavery. And he was, through a different series of events, he ended up being raised in the Egyptian palace by the royal family. And he came to a time where his heart for his people was so burdened that when he was out and about and he saw an Egyptian slave master beating an Israelite slave, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. But who knows that sand moves. And he got found out. And so then he had to run away from Egypt and he found himself in Midian. But when he got to Midian, he settled down. He got married. He had children. He had this fantastic job cruising around the desert looking after his father-in-law's sheep. He had it really sweet. He was happy. He was comfortable. Life was good. So why would he now want to change all that? Why would he want to now step into this purpose that God was now calling him into at the burning bush? You see, he had been running away from his purpose. He'd been hiding out in Midian, but now at the burning bush, God was calling him back to purpose. And what I would like to submit to you today is that many of us are like Moses. When we are faced with our purpose, like Moses, we bring out all our excuses, all our reasons why we should not or could not step into or do or say what God is calling us to do, simply from our desire to stay comfortable. So even though we know it is the voice of God, even though we know God has the power to do miracles and to do all kinds of things that are beyond what we could imagine, so strong is our relationship with comfort that we are willing to sacrifice our purpose so we can stay comfortable. Just let that settle. So willing are we, or so strong is our desire to hold on to comfort, that we are willing to sacrifice our purpose. So even though you know you are being prompted by God to get around the people in your connect group, maybe even lead it one day, or that God is prompting you to speak to your workmate about Christ or to serve in a team on a Sunday, or you know God is prompting you to pray more or get into the Word, you don't. You don't because you're too tired, it's too cold, it's too awkward, it's too early, it's too hard, it's too overwhelming. I don't have enough time, I don't have enough energy, I don't have enough patience. And the thought of stepping out has you feeling overwhelmed, or it's just easier to stay home. There's something I want to watch on TV, or there just always seem to be more important things to do. Our comfort's pretty attractive, right? And it's attractive because it is comfortable. But like Moses at the burning bush, God doesn't call us into comfort. Rather, he calls us to break up with comfort and step into our purpose. God calls us to break up with our comfort and step into our purpose. And he does that because we were created for purpose. Every single one of us in this room has been uniquely created for purpose. If you go right back to the beginning, right back to creation, when God breathed his life-giving breath into Adam and Eve and they stood before God, this is what God declared over them. In Genesis 1:28, he said, "Then God blessed them and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" You see, even though Adam and Eve were living in the most pristine of creation, they had everything they needed at their fingertips, God still declared to them that they were created for purpose and he sent them off to fulfill that purpose. To be fruitful, to be multiplied, to multiply, to subdue, to take dominion. God declared over them that they were created for purpose and even more than that, that they were to build their whole life on fulfilling that purpose. That their whole life was to revolve around, be built on and focused on filling the purpose that God had placed on their life. And the same way, you and I are uniquely created for purpose. We are each uniquely created for purpose. Every God-created part of you has been created for purpose. But who knows, so often the enemy will come in and convince us that those God-given parts of us are not what God desires for us to carry. Or they are too faulty or dysfunctional, or they're not good enough for us to step into our purpose. For instance, right now, here in this place, I would say that most of us could say we're either an extrovert or an introvert, probably wired one way or another, right? That is your God-given unique design, that you are an extrovert who gathers social energy from being around other people, or you're an introvert who gets drained by the same situation. Praise God for all the introverts. I'm with you, brothers and sisters. But hand up right now if you're an extrovert. Come on. You should be the ones really bold and game to put your hands up. Yep. Awesome. So all the extroverts in the place, I bet the enemy comes into your life and tells you that you're too much, that you're too loud, that you shouldn't talk so much, and you shouldn't get around people so much. You should probably just spend a bit more time alone in silence, right? The enemy tells you that because he doesn't want you out there using your God-given wiring to invest and gather people and draw them into the things of God. That's why he tells you that, right? But that's your God-given design. It's time for us extroverts, not us, you. It's time for you extroverts to go, you know what? God has wired me this way. I am desired. I am designed to bring energy and love and embrace the people in my world and encourage them and draw them into what God has called on their life. Hand up if you're an introvert. Now, I can bet, I bet that at some point in your life, the enemy has come into your life and told you there is something deeply wrong with you because you are an introvert, because you struggle to be around people. Sometimes you feel awkward in social situations. I can bet my bottom dollar the enemy has spoken that into your life. But that is not the truth of God. God has uniquely wired you to be somebody who can go deep into the Word of God, to go deep into the things of God, and to go deep into those one-on-one relationships where you can invest and you can sow and you can encourage and you can draw people into the depths and the purpose of God. That is how God has uniquely wired you. You see, we were all uniquely created for purpose. We are all uniquely created for purpose. It's time for us to break up with our comfort and to embrace the purpose that God has created us for. You see, just like Adam and Eve were to take dominion over a place that they'd never explored, living for purpose means going outside of what is known. It means going outside of what is predictable or what is routine. It means breaking up with comfort, yes? It can mean getting off the couch. It means getting up early. It means doing something when you don't feel like it, being faithful when no one notices, making a sacrifice, going the extra mile. And you know what? In our world that we're living in right now, in this world of secular thinking that says, if it feels good, do it, and if it doesn't, don't do it, that actually flies in the face of what God's kingdom purpose is for you. And we need to, as believers, rise up and say, I am not going to get stuck in this world that says I need to remain comfortable, but I'm going to step out into the discomfort of the purpose that God has called me into and the purpose that God has placed on my life. You see, in this world, this is a foreign concept, breaking up with comfort, but it is a kingdom concept. It's time for us to live kingdom lives. When we start to live as the world tells us to live, then that goal of living in God's purpose can be at best delayed or at worst derailed by our attempts to avoid something that takes us outside of our comfort zone. You see, living for purpose and living for comfort are two opposing agendas. One is trying to keep you where you are, and the other is drawing you into something new. You can have one or the other, but you can't have both. They are not compatible. And when you try to live in both, when you try to live from that place of fulfilling God's purpose and yet remaining comfortable, then it's like living in an incompatible relationship. Whether it's a romantic relationship or a work relationship or a friendship, when you have a relationship with someone else, and you have different agendas, you are always going to encounter this tension where one person is going in one direction and the other is going in the other. Like when you have different beliefs about God, or when you have different ideas about how to run your business or parenting, or whether you should watch Seinfeld or Friends. Because everyone knows it's Seinfeld, right? There's only so far the relationship can go. At some point, the opposing agendas are going to limit the depth and effectiveness of the relationship until the tension is resolved. It's the same in our relationship with God. As long as we build our lives around comfort instead of building our lives around purpose, we will be living in an opposing agenda to God. Now, don't get me wrong. Being comfortable is okay. Chilling on the couch is okay, but it is when we are living for comfort and not living for purpose. It is when comfort becomes our life's agenda, our driving force, that it limits the depth of the relationship and the depth of the purpose that God is calling us to. So knowing all this, how do we break up our relationship with comfort so we can fully step into the plan and the purpose of God? Well, I'm glad you asked. And my first point is, the first thing we need to do is we need to turn aside. We need to turn aside. You see, when Moses first began to hear from God and step into his purpose, the first thing he had done was he turned aside. When we read Exodus 3, verse 3 and 4, it says, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. You see, Moses didn't turn aside because God was speaking to him. He turned aside because the bush was not burning up. He could see that there was something going on over here, that there was something that was happening that was not in the normal. And when he turned aside, it was then that God's voice spoke to him. It was then that God called him into purpose. Now, just have a think for a moment, for those of you who know about Moses' life, of all the things he would have missed out on if he didn't turn aside. If he never turned aside in that moment, what would have been all of the things that he wouldn't have missed out on? He would have missed out on seeing millions of slaves set free. He would have missed out on the parting of the Red Sea, or of a fire by night, a cloud by day, water from the rock, the giving of the Ten Commandments, the presence of God on the mountaintop that made his face glow, the building of the tabernacle, the Shekinah glory, standing on the mountain on the edge of the promised land, looking at what God was about to release his people into. Moses would have missed out on every single one of those things had he not turned aside. You see, so often we miss the burning bush moment because we've not stopped and turned aside. God is always speaking to us, always moving in our lives, always got something to say, but we need to turn aside. We need to turn aside and find those moments and those opportunities to hear the voice of God. That's why it is so often that you see those people who have a consistent devotional life where they are every day praying and reading the word. So often those are the people who are stepping into their purpose, because it's from that place of his presence that purpose is cultivated and released. We see it again and again in scripture, right? Moses had his encounter with God at the burning bush. God spoke to him and released him into purpose. Adam and Eve's purpose was declared over them in the garden, a place of God's presence where he would come and walk with them and talk with them intimately. That place of the presence of God is where our purpose is cultivated. If you need to know or desire to know your purpose, yes, ask someone to pray for you, ask someone to speak over you, but you also need to get yourself in the presence of God. You need to turn aside and start to lean in and listen to his voice. So the first thing we need to do is turn aside. The second thing we need to do is deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. Jesus said this to his disciples in Matthew 16, 24. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, when Jesus is talking about denying yourself here, he is saying to lose sight of your own interests, to lose sight of your own comfort, to break your attachment to that and instead follow him, to take up your cross and follow him. Attach yourself and your life to him and his purposes, to break up with comfort and follow him. And when you do that, that's when you truly find your life. You see, there's a depth of life and relationship with God that can only be discovered when we break up with comfort and we step out into the purpose that he has for us. I remember a time not long after Mark and I got married that we came alongside some pastors who were planting a church here in Rockingham. We had felt God speak to us and call us, and we just stepped in. And we went in boots and all. We were all in. And I would have to say we've been pretty much all in ever since. But when we stepped in from that moment on, we were like putting our shoulder to the plow. We were serving. We were doing everything that we could to help facilitate what God wanted to do in that new church. And so Mark and I, we would drive to church separately in separate cars, because I'd be running kids ministry. I'd get there at a different time. He'd be running production. He'd get there at a different time. And we would run and do the things that we were doing in separate parts of the building. And then we would pack it all up, put it back in the truck or the trailer, and it'd all get taken away. And then we would go home. We wouldn't even really see each other quite often on a Sunday until we were like meeting each other in the driveway back at home after everything was done. And as a new wife, I found after a while I was getting this really bad attitude in my heart, because we'd just got married and I was really excited to be in church with my husband, but we were never in the service together. We were always serving in these different areas. And so I found in my heart on a Sunday morning, instead of being excited and passionate about what God was going to do through me, I was coming into church with this really bad attitude. In fact, I'd have to say that internally I was having this little bit of a tantrum. I was stamping my feet and screaming and wailing at God, going, "This is not fair. This is not fair. Waited all this time to be married and now we're not even in church together. What is this, God? What are you doing?" And I would complain and I would, everything and go on, showing all my immaturity and my lack of faith. But I really found one morning I got up and I prayed into the service and I felt God speak to me so profoundly in that moment to correct me and remind me that the whole reason that he had called us into that space was because there were people to reach in our community. There were people who were going to come in the doors, kids, teenagers, adults, and we were called to be there to minister to them and encourage them and get around them and gather them in. It wasn't about me and my little tantrum. It was actually about God and his purpose and what he wanted to do. And from that moment on, when I was able to lay down my tantrum and lay down what I thought I was entitled to, then the depth of relationship and what God started to speak to me about what he wanted to do through myself, through Mark, through that church began to just ramp up. It was almost like suddenly this wall got torn down and God could do what he wanted to do. Because you see, there's a depth of relationship that is available to you when you're willing to let go of your comfort and fully embrace the purpose that God has for your life. And so the first one was this, to turn aside. The second one was to deny yourself. And the third one is to surrender. You see, when asking us to break up with comfort, and I just saw this picture, you know, like when you see those breakup scenes in the love, you know, the romantic comedies and all that sort of stuff, it's like God is sitting with you at the table and he's saying to you, "It's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me." And he's saying that because your purpose is not about you. It's not about you and it's not about your ability. It is about God and his ability to bring about his purpose in your life. You see, this account of Moses is showing us a serious flaw in our humanity. Every time Moses argued against God's purposes, Moses was pointing out the lack in his own ability. But when God brought his response back to Moses, he was pointing Moses to his supernatural ability. God was trying to teach Moses and us today that our purpose is not found in our comfort. Our purpose is found in our surrender. We need to surrender all of that we have, our ability or our lack of, before God and allow his supernatural ability to move. The psalmist knew what it meant to surrender to God and his purposes when they wrote this in Psalm 46, verse 10. He said, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." This word, be still, means to let alone. It means to do nothing. It means to be quiet. And when scholars unpack this verse, this is how they translate it. As you know the glory and greatness of God, stop your mouth from arguing with him or opposing him. Simply surrender. Wow. I don't know about you, but there have been so many times when I have delayed or ignored the purpose of God on my life because I've been like Moses. I have been standing at that burning bush, stubbornly refusing to surrender and arguing with him about what he is trying to call me into and trying to explain to him that I don't have the ability or the competence or the time or whatever it is, add your own thing to the list, to say that this is why I can't step into it. This is why I can't do to it. But what we need to learn is that it is not about us. It is about him. You see, the reason we respond like that is because we're desperately trying to keep a hold on our own life. We're trying to keep a hold on what we are comfortable with. And what I've learned in those seasons is that partial surrender is not surrender. Partial surrender is not surrender. Partially stepping into purpose, partially giving a little bit to God but holding the rest back, that is not surrender. That is not you sacrificing yourself. That is not you saying, Jesus, I take up my cross and follow you. That's more like, Jesus, I take up my splinter and follow you. Okay? We are not partial surrender is not surrender. It's so much we are a bit like playing hokey pokey with God, right? We've got one foot in and we've got one foot out. We are not fully in. We are just partially surrendered, which means we are not surrendered. We haven't fully given everything over to God. And you see, so often we do that. There's many reasons that we do that. One of them is because we want to stay comfortable. And so when we look at what God's calling us into, then we try to reduce the purpose down to something we can manage, something we can control, something that we can handle. It's a bit like if God's purpose was for you was big enough to fill this room, but instead you've decided just to make it fit in this bottle because in this bottle I can hold it. In this bottle I can control it. In this bottle I can manage it in my own strength. And so I reduce my purpose down to what I can think I can contain. I reduce my purpose down to what I think I can hold. But God's purpose for you is so much greater than what can be contained in your hands. His purpose is actually in his hands. And he wants to release it to you and empower you to carry it and empower you to walk in it. The other reason why we so often don't fully surrender to God is we've been like Moses. We've stepped out in purpose once and it went bad. It went wrong. And if you've stepped out into your purpose in a church and you've been hurt by that, I want to say to you today, I'm really sorry that it happened. But I also want to say to you today, you were created for purpose. And the Bible tells us to commit ourselves to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. That scripture says, it doesn't say, I'm really sorry you've been hurt, and so you don't need to worry about your purpose anymore. No. And I know I'm being really rough right now, but what I want to say to you today, I'm really sorry you've been hurt, but God still has called you to purpose. And you need to find a way to be healed from your hurt and to step into what God has called you to. He's called you to be committed to seek his kingdom and its righteousness and to fulfill the call and the purpose on your life. You were not called to be lukewarm. You were not to be called to be playing hokey pokey. You were called to fully live in the plan and the purpose that God has placed on your life. And so it's time for us to break up with comfort, yeah? It's time for us to say, you know what? I'm not going to let that pain and that hurt keep me in my comfortable place anymore. I'm going to trust what He's calling me to, and I'm going to step out of comfort and into His purpose. You know, there's this amazing scripture in Revelation chapter 3. If the band could join me, that would be great. Revelation chapter 3, where the disciple John writes to a number of churches. And in Revelation 3, one of the letters he writes is to a church in Laodicea. And Laodicea, when he starts to speak to them and write this letter, he says to them, God sees your works. God sees their works. So he sees their works and he acknowledges them. But then he also says, but you're not hot and you're not cold. You're doing some things, but you're not fully surrendered. You got one foot in, you've got one foot out. You're not hot and you're not cold. You're lukewarm. And so even though there are works that you are doing, you are not fully stepping into what I've called you to. You're not on fire for me. You're not fully surrendered. And even more, he writes then that God says, I will spew you out of my mouth. So offensive to God is that kind of response to him. He's not calling you to be a one foot in, one foot out kind of person. He's calling you in to purpose. He's calling you to be all in. He's calling you to be fully surrendered. He's calling you to be fully given over, to fully commit yourself and your life to him and say, God, I'm going to sit at that table with you and I'm going to have that breakup conversation with the comfort I've been living in, and I'm going to step into what you have for me. I'm going to step into what you have for me.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.